notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father.
It's the Father's Day edition of Rosie on the House. Good morning, Arizona. Thank you for tuning in and joining us. We're here with special guest Matt Fritzmiller from Basis and Chandler. You're pointing.
I want to tell you the song, My Father and Me.
Yeah.
I always thought, I see Romy more and more like you as he gets older. Remy is a mini-me at 4 years old. I don't know how I could be any more like you. Where is he going to grow to from here? It's just like looking at you. But he looks like you as a 20-year-old. His little cowboy hat and his vest and his belt buckle and his jeans and boots. And Miss Landry, I don't know.
The angel. The angel.
That's the alter ego. Hey, I heard you got a giveaway this morning.
Let's go ahead and do it. We'll give our first. We've got six giveaways today. And generally, I like to make you work for it a little bit, so someone just browsing through the radio on Seek doesn't happen to get lucky. I'd like it to go to one of our winners, but we don't have time. I don't want to end up like last week where poor Jen had to sort through 200 texts and decide which one of these manufacturers were really American-made and then sort that down and go random way. I don't want to create a nightmare for the team, so let's just make it easy. Fifth caller right now gets the first one. This one is Diamondback tickets, Hex Armor gloves, and Hex Armor glasses. These safety glasses are tinted. They're lightweight. I did a review on them that's on our website now. I've even just started using them as general sunglasses. The only pair of glasses I've ever liked in the past are Oakley's. I finally broke down about 25 and bought a $160 pair of glasses that
you
were
lost.
Stolen less than 2 weeks later out of a bag that was in the front seat of my truck when I was at a lunch appointment on Scottsdale and McCormick Ranch, and I've never gone back. But I keep these in my truck, and they're $14 retail. So if they get lost, it's not like I'm out. So fifth caller right now, 1-888-767-4348, and the first gift basket is yours.
Like, I can tell you the first one's, it's done.
It's done. Oh, I can't see the phones from this side.
It's done.
Well, let's continue talking to Matt Fritzmiller. Renaissance dad, and talk about this idea of being a good dad. Where do you think your ideas for being with your kids came from? Where did you learn to be a good dad?
You know, it came from my dad. And, growing up, my dad had a schedule where he was able to spend time with me. And as I was have kind of thought about this over the past couple of years, and I look at my dad, I grew up in Tempe, and we would walk to downtown Tempe on Monday night to watch Monday night football, and Saturday mornings we'd get up and walk somewhere to watch college football, and just that time spent, and we could have gotten in the car and a 5 or 10 minute drive and have gotten to our destination, but that time walking and just getting to talk about football or dogs or life or whatever it was, I always felt like my dad spent time with me, and he took time out of his busy schedule to be with me, and I always wanted to have that same sentiment, that same drive for my kids.
And Rosie, when the kids were young, Rosie worked a lot of hours, so we actually homeschooled, and one of the reasons was so we could be available when he was. So when you were off, we were there, and your off time was always about being with the kids.
Absolutely, yeah. And there isn't a better role model, Matt. No offense meant, but there's no better role model for dad than my dad, Dr. Rosie. Boy, he never let any grass grow under his feet. His nickname was Rudder Butt because he always had that rudder going, and he was always moving. He always had a sense of adventure. The kids were always, and he and mom had 8 children. So I have 5 sisters and 2 brothers. So it was always a group. And dad worked hard, but dad took it to the grave. Work hard, play hard. We lost him Halloween Day 2007, hardest day of my life.
And that follows down into Romy's generation as well. Romy, you're all about your kids. Aren't you? You work hard and you play hard, you know. And I don't know if even junior rodeo is much play for you, but it's a lot of work.
It's work and play in one.
Yeah. You're a good dad.
You know, but Roxy and Tinley are so self-sufficient anymore. I mean, they can – Bully's the only one that's too tall for them to saddle. You got to tighten a cinch here or there or put a head stall on here or there, but they kind of – they're at that age where it's all them.
And you put in your time when they're young, like you're talking about, Matt, teach them when they're young. Then when they grow up, work isn't a foreign thing. You can't take a kid when they're 12 or 13 and say, okay, we're going to change
your
whole life now. Let's be friends and let's do these things together.
In our six children, I learned to have markers. Okay, there's the point where they can walk. Okay, that's a big relief. You know, now they can walk. They can be mobile. Then tying their shoes was like the next one. And God bless the inventor of Velcro, right?
Absolutely.
Then it's the first day of school, and then it's driving, and then they're gone. And one of the ways you're, Matt, saving the memory of the kids is this quote journal. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my wife and I started this when our oldest daughter, Elsa, started talking. And the things that came out of her mouth were just absolutely hilarious. And we thought, you know, my initial thought was, I need to hold on to these because I want to share these at her wedding. And, you know, if I didn't like her, if I do like her, then we'll just keep these as a family thing. And so it's grown now. We just started our second quote journal. And you know, as I was reading through this, I came across one that... actually, two Father's Day quotes. This was from my daughter Elsa when she was five. And she said to my wife, Glinka, you be daddy. And Glinka said, well, what do you want me to do? And Elsa, five at the time, said, I want you to go around and fix everything, then go outside and do some yard work, then put my babies to sleep. That's how to be daddy.
Oh, that is awesome.
And for me, I thought, I've arrived. Like, she knows what daddy does. And then my son, Emery, when he was four, also on Father's Day, I asked him, you know, I was putting him down, and I said, can I give you another hug and kiss? And he said, of course you can. You can give me a gazillion kisses and a gazillion hugs because it's Father's Day. I think every day is Father's Day because you're the actual boss, and God is the bigger boss. He's even bigger than giants. So, you know, and these memories, we share them. We'll sit at dinner at the end of a meal, and the kids every once in a while will say, can we read some quotes? And we'll pull out the quote journals and just remember moments where the kids said some off-the-wall things. Or,
you know, capturing those moments is so important. Romy and I were talking about, you know, when Remy was about, I guess, about 3 years old, you could not walk in the door where he didn't just glue himself to you. And now he's kind of developed his own little world, and maybe he's not there as much. But that comes and goes, you know. And so to be available when they have those moments, to be able to say, hey, we're going to do this together, we're going to hang out together. And even though they don't want to, they're going to hang out with you, because then it sets a precedence for later.
Talking about quotes, I still remember the first time I got on an airplane with Romy, and he had a window seat. And he's looking, and he looked at me. He said, Dad, how do the clouds get down there? And then how about our personal trainer daughter, Katie? Mm-hmm. Remember her? What was her quote?
Well, I don't think I can say that on air.
No, you can. It's hilarious.
The legs one?
Yes.
Oh, she's a personal trainer now, but it showed up very early. She was about three, and she turned around. She goes, hey, Mom, your legs is a part of your butt. She was very observant very early. Sorry, Katie. Dad made me do it.
All right. How about any big scare moments of your kids? Jennifer challenged me that we were driving home from Tucson last night, and she says, what are your biggest scares? Man, I thought through about 20 really quick. How about big daddy scares?
You know, I think every day is pretty scary.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, before kids, I had a biscuit joiner accident where I tore my thumb off. And just this past January, the kids were playing on a Sunday, and my oldest daughter came home and said Emery got hurt, and he walked in, and there was blood everywhere, and he had partially amputated his pinky in a scooter accident. So, you know, as a dad, you're panicking. I'm remembering my finger injury, but it's trying to put on that calm face and, okay, well, let's wrap it up, and, you know, sideways glance to the wife, like, we have to go to the hospital. And And luckily they were able to get everything sewed up, and his pinky's fine. I told him he just wanted to be like Daddy with just part of a finger on his hand.
And Romy, how about you? Roxy's probably giving y'all enough scares to last a lifetime. She's our adventurous one. No fear.
That one, it's been a while for her. She's managed to stay out of the emergency rooms for 2 years now.
Awesome.
I think the last hospital run for personal injury, I think Tinley clotheslined herself off the quad.
Oh, gosh.
You have to look forward when you're driving the quad was the lesson.
She'll never forget that. Oh, yeah. And yours was, I'm not even sure I want you to say that one on air.
Well, we have so many of them. Okay. I mean, and some, quite frankly, Jennifer, you don't even know about. I was all forever taking the kids camping. And how many times I spent 2 hours looking for a kid. You know, how am I going to explain this to Jennifer?
He lost his in Disneyland. At least somebody would find him.
Well, I haven't lost all three of them. Just two of the three.
I have dogs that we hike with a lot. And every once in a while, I'll be out there and my phone will ring and Jennifer will say, hey, there's a guy in Jack Canyon that says he has your dog. And so, okay, well, I got to drive 10 miles and go get the dog. And I was always worried.
I've got your kid.
But, we were always a big boating family. So how many boat stories do we have? Lots of boat stories, but probably.
They get scarier as you get older, Matt.
we decided that we were going to go camp out on Lake Pleasant when the Hale Bob Comet was coming in 96 or 97. And so not only did we have the kids, but we told the kids, y'all can all invite a friend. So we've got like, I don't know, 10 or 12 people on this pontoon boat. We're going to go set up a camp for the night.
This was our anniversary, by the way.
Yeah, it was our anniversary on this island on Lake Pleasant. And so the comet comes and it's just a great moment. And then everybody turns in and this storm whips up. I mean, it's a storm. And the boat's getting beat against the rocks. The kids are all crying. How old was the oldest kid then? Maybe 12 or 13, Romy?
Romy thinks it was a little older.
I think we were a little older.
Okay. We could track it by finding out when Hale Bob came across. But it was a fabulous sighting. Well, we decided, let's all load up, throw all the wet sleeping bags, throw everything on the boat. I mean, everything is sopping, dripping wet. And we start heading for the marina. And I mean, it's rough. It's really rough. I mean, the water's coming over the front of the bow. The bilge pump the bilge pump cannot keep up.
That little outboard motor's cranked as hard as it'll go, and we're going barely a half a knot, probably. It seemed like it took hours to get in.
It seemed like it took a week.
Matt, I have to tell you, Rosie's like the half-full kind of glass guy, you know? And when he started throwing out life jackets, I knew we were in trouble.
And I also knew that if we went down, I was going to go down with the ship because we had too many of their friends on board, and I didn't want to meet. I didn't want to have that meeting with their parents.
So the Lake
Pleasant Hale Bob night was probably one of the scariest. But then the night we spent the night up on Anderson Mesa, and the tent collapsed, and it rained 3 inches that one night. We decided to all get up and leave, and we're in 2 4-wheel drives, the mud's up to the axles. And so I go up out of this dry lake, and I say, now, kids, y'all stay right here. I'm going to leave the car running with the heater on. Y'all just stay here. Mom will never drive the car out of that mess. And so I start sliding down this mud hill to get to the other car, and here comes Jennifer. Her eyes are big as oranges. You see the white knuckles on top of the steering wheel, and she's got all four wheels throwing mud every direction.
Look out, Rosie!
Watch out! Here she comes.
There's Romy behind me.
We pulled into Mormon Lake Lodge. I think I had like $4 in my pocket, and I said, I'll take all the hot chocolate $4 can buy.
Well, let's come back and finish up talking about the legacy you want to leave your kids. I think that's a pretty good way to wrap up the morning, don't you?
Sounds good.